In the 1960s, the following question was posed to Rabbi Moshe Halevi Steinberg, who was the Rav in the city of Kiryat Yam in Israel, and an expert on laws relating to gerus, or to conversion. Whenever the chief rabbinate had a shaila about gerus, he was the go-to person to paskin shailas of gerus. Published it in a sefer called Chukas HaGer, which was published in 1971. The shaila was asked sometime in the 60s. We don't have a date on the shaila, so we don't know for sure. The middle of the first page. Anybody not have a copy of the sheets? Kvot HaRoso Roma Bikshuni, the Chavad Da'ati, Honorable Torah One, requested my opinion. Inya Nochri, with regard to a Gentile, L'she'avar Chaver Pa'il B'miflaga HaNatzit HaYidua L'shimtza, in the past, an active member of the Nazi party, known for disgrace, for calumny, V'yesh La'aniach, and it's fair to assume, She'ba'atzmo Hishtateif B'ma'asim Nifsha'im, that he himself participated in sinful acts. It's fair to assume that he was a member of the Nazi party, he was a member of the SS, he was a guard in a concentration camp, and he killed Jews, and he tortured Jews, and he took Jewish babies and smashed their brains against the wall in the presence of their mothers. Yesh lahaniach. It's a legitimate assumption. V'kayet chazar b'tshuva, and now he has returned with tshuva. V'rotza litgayer, and he wants to become a ger. In mekablu moto, do we accept him or not? What a powerful shiloh this is. Terrible. I feel terrible. I feel awful. Sad. Regret. Remorse, contrition. I want to become a Jew. Can we accept such a person as a ger? Says Rabbi Steinberg. Im ladun mibchina anushit bichlal, mibchinat hakavod v'haregesh haleumi bifrat. If we come to judge this case from the perspective of humanity in general, or from the perspective of national honor and emotion in particular, pashut ubarur, twice, it's pashut and it's pashut, she'ein hamatzpun marsheh lehizdakek lo v'la'anot lebakashato b'chiyuv, that our conscience can't possibly allow us to relate to such a person and to respond favorably to his request. Bar nash kazeh, such a human being, asher yadav dam yehudi meleot, whose hands are full of Jewish blood, ein mikomo b'machane Yisrael, has no place in the Jewish community. Rather, ki im tamei tamei yikralo, not one tamei, two tameis, tamei tamei yikralo, umekomo harchek mibeit Yisrael, his place is far away from the Jewish people. Ve'ech kasheh davar la'achriz alav, how hard it is to announce with regard to him, achinu ata, you are our brother. The role of somebody becomes a ger, achinu ata, how can you say, by any measure of decency, of morality, of ethics, of humanity, anything, general humanity, particularistic Jewish sense of pride and kavod and regesh, there's no way, poshut uboru, that we cannot accept such a person as a ger. Aval, however, mibchinat ha-halacha yivesha, I don't like the phrase halacha yivesha, dry halacha. I would prefer to translate it or to use a phrase that is more in keeping with strict technical halacha. From the perspective of technical halacha, Eineni ro'eh kol miniyah milekablo. I can see no barrier, nothing that would hold me back from accepting such a person as a ger. And what Rabbi Steinberg goes ahead and does is quote three sources. Nazir asked the three sources for you on page 2. So let's take a look at the three sources. Number 1, the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Chav Beis. Vayetze Kayin Milifnei Hashem. Kayin and Hevel have an argument. Kayin goes ahead and kills Hevel. Kodesh Baruch Hu has a taina to Kayin, how could he kill Hevel? And he has an encounter with Kayin. Vayetze Kayin Milifnei Hashem, and Kayin now leaves that encounter. In the middle of the paragraph, where the arrows are, Poga Bo Adam Arishon, on the way out, he bumps into Adam Arishon. He happens to know who Adam Arishon is. After all, he has a family relationship with Adam Arishon. And Adam Arishon says to him, his father says to him, Ma Nase Bedinecha. I see you coming out from your encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how did it go? What happened with your judgment? Amar Lo, so Kayin tells Adam, Asisi Shuva Venispasharti. I did Shuva, and we're reconciled. We worked it out. I did Shuva, and it's okay. The rest of the Medrash is fascinating, not for now. Adam Arishon hits himself on the head and said, unbelievable, I never even knew that there's such a thing as Shuva. Incredible. Kayin teaches his father the concept of Shuva. Zot Rabbi Steinberg. Kayin is a murderer. What does Kayin do? Asisi tshuva v'nispasharti. A maisa rav, a halacha yevesha precedent, that this former Nazi, from the technicality of Jewish law, there's no reason, there's no basis on which to deny him his request. Second text. Medrash Rabban and Shmos. Medrash says, Amar Iyov, in the middle of the second line, Pasuk says, Iyov b'chutz lo yolin ger, that a ger will not be outside. Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu posel livriya, that God does not disqualify anybody. It's a gezunt. God doesn't disqualify anybody. Elo lakol hu mekabel. God accepts everybody. Hasha'arim niftachim b'chol sha'a. When out of time, ben kesel ha'asar, aserisim ha'tshuva, the image of the gates are always open. V'chol mishu mevakesh likonis yikonis. Anybody who wants to come is welcome. There are no exceptions. It's not v'chol mishu mevakesh likonis yikonis, except for a mushchis, and except for an oizvarf, and except for an avarian, and except for a manuvel, and except for a murderer. There are no excepts. There are no exceptions. The gates are open to everybody. Nobody lives outside. Bachutz lo yolin, anybody. The gates are open. Come on in. God accepts all of us. Zot Rabbi Steinberg, former Nazi. Former Nazi falls into this category. He's serious. He's sincere, he's genuine, he's contrite, he's regretful, he's remorseful. After all, v'chol mi shehu mevakesh likanes yikanes. And then comes the third source. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a Gemara in Gittin. Unbelievable Gemara. It's mamish, literally, an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rab Chia bar Oven, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Last entry on page 2, the first line. Sachli zokein echad me'anche Yerushalayim. We're talking here about the days leading up to culminating Churban Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradon. Nebuzaradon is the general. So an alti yid, the zokein echad me'anche Yerushalayim, told me, Bibikazu, in this valley, Harad Nebuzaradon, Rav Tabachim, we don't even call him Nevuzaradon. We call him even Nevuzaradon Yemach Shemo. We call him Nevuzaradon, the chief butcher, the chief executioner. In this valley he killed Mosayim v'achas esrei ribo. Ribo is 10,000. Mosayim v'achas esrei is 211. 211 10,000s is 2,110,000. In this valley, Yena Altayid told me that Nebuzaradan killed over 2 million people. Ubi Yerushalayim Harag, Tishim Va'arba Ribo Aleven Achas. And in Yerushalayim on one stone, he killed 94 10,000s. 94 10,000s is 940,000 people. Nebuzaradan killed over 3 million people. Until the blood was so powerful, and it was a river. The river of blood went and touched Zechariah's blood. And you know the story about how the Jews killed Zechariah. They were not happy with what he was saying, and the blood refused to be seeped into the ground. The blood was boiling on top of the ground. It's a whole kina that we say on Tisha B'Av about this. The blood is boiling. And if Uzaradan wants the blood to stop boiling. And so he brings, middle of the wide lines, at the end, I see Sanhedrin Gedola v'Sanhedrin Ktana Kot Aliluye v'lo nach. He brings all of the rabbis and the big Sanhedrin and all the rabbis and the little Sanhedrin, and he kills them. And he wants the blood to stop, and the blood doesn't stop foaming. It doesn't stop boiling. Bachurim ubesulos, he brings young men and young women, kot alilayu, unknown number, we don't know how many, velonach. I see tinoka shelbeis rabbi, he brings the little kindalach, the little boys, the little girls, the kids that are learning, kot alilayu, velonach. Finally, at that moment, bahushaita, hear her tshuva b'dayta. He has a hearer tshuva. Says it's terrible. He leaves. He runs away. The igay only becomes a ger. Atidekach, says the Gemara, Nebuzaradan ger tzedekoy. Nebuzaradan killed at least 3 million. We don't know how many tinoi kishil beis rabban. We don't know how many bachurim and Besulos, we have no idea. 3.4 million people. He has a year of tshuva. And he becomes a ger. Zokt, Rabbi Stalker. By Sarah. Chazal say that Nebuzaradan became a ger. Nebuzaradan becomes a ger, the former Nazi can become a ger. And therefore he concludes, back to the bottom of page one, after bringing all of these sources, Lochen, Lochen. Im Bezdin Mishuchna. If the Bezdin is convinced, Shehuit Charet Becharata Gemura, Chozar Bechuva Shleim, and not just Charata, but Charata Gemura, not just Tshuva, but Tshuva Shleima. If the Bezdin is convinced that he is sincere and remorseful, genuine and contrite, honest, Mitameitz bekenut, and he's trying with sincerity, with honesty, likanes tachas kanfei hashchina. V'lo mistateres ezo kavana shel hanoa ishes o kabbalah sora. He's not doing this for covid. He's not doing this because he wants to get mafter yoina. He's not doing this because he wants to become president of the shul. He's not doing this because he wants psicha v'neila. He's not doing this for any ulterior motive whatsoever. But mamish and maintis taka errands. He wants to become a Jew, and what he did was terrible. Ein mitzad ha'alocha kol Yisrael lekabla lecheka yadut. Mitzad ha'alocha, there's no prohibition. There's no prohibition from accepting him to the chek, to the lap of Judaism. My question is this the end of the story? Would this former Nazi have no accountability for his past behavior once he becomes a ger? Do we say that once he became a ger, let's assume that he's sincere, and let's assume that the Beis Din paskin, we don't know the result of this. We don't know lemaisa what happened. We don't have a name, we don't have a date, we don't have a place, we don't have a story. We just have a shaila and a tshuva. Is his slate wiped entirely clean? Does he have no obligations at all with regard to what happened beforehand? You could say you're sorry, and you could say you're regretful. But the question is, what does I'm sorry mean? From whom is he asking I'm sorry? Where's he going to go to ask mechila? And I want to raise the question of tshuva and slicha and kapara for us, now that we are in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and we're thinking a lot about this, and this for us is a central issue. So what happens to the sins, to the hurts that we committed, that we perpetrated on other people? Is the slate wiped entirely clean? And how is the slate wiped entirely clean? And I raise it bedafka in the extreme case in order to help us sharpen the question for ourselves. The problem is compounded in this case, in the case of the Shaila of Rabbi Steinberg, from whom is this prospective proselyte, and maybe he actually became a proselyte, from whom is he seeking forgiveness? You know the halacha is, at the top of page 3. The halacha is that you have to go ask mechila. And there's a special halacha before Yom Kippur, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, before Yom Kippur we have to make sure we ask mechila. It's not a halacha in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's a halacha in life. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, we have to make sure that beforehand we do what we have to do, so we have to go to somebody, and we have to bring 3 people, and we have to go again, and we have to go again. And then what happens if the person died? What happens if the person died before we had a chance to ask him for mechila? So the Gemara says in Yuma, top of page 3, 3 lines from the bottom, the immeis, mevi asar b'nei adam, u'ma'amidin al kivra. So you have to bring 10 people, and you have to go to the kivra and ask for mechila. It's amazing. It's amazing the power of the obligation to ask mechila. What, he's going to be meichel me? He's going to be meichel me in the kever? I have an obligation to go ask mechila. And I don't have to wait. I shouldn't wait until they're in the kever. I should go when they can, yes, be meichel me. But where's this Nazi going to go, this former Nazi? Where's he going to go? There are no graves. There is no kever. And if there is no kever, where's he going to go? Famous dilemma posed by Simon Wiesenthal in his book, The Sunflower. It's really an important book to read because it really helps us understand the notion, Meinyana Diyoma, about what forgiveness is. He was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp, and one day he was taken from his work detail to the bedside of a dying SS member. And this dying SS member is haunted by the crimes in which he had participated, and he wants to confess, and he wants to ask mechila from Jew. So Wiesenthal is chosen to represent the Jewish people to accept the mechila from the SS guy. Whatever Wiesenthal did or didn't do, I don't know, but he sends this, after the war, he sends this question out to a number of different people, and he asks them, what would you do in such a case? Would you have forgiven this guard or not? I xerox for you 2 of them. One of them, from Abraham Joshua Heschel, tells the story of Reb Chaim Brisker. Famous story of Reb Chaim Brisker. He's going to Warsaw, from Warsaw, I don't know exactly what. He's on a train, and there are a bunch of Jews who start making fun of him. Because he has a beard, and he's dressed funny, and he's got a long coat, and he has an upturned hat. And they start to make fun of him, and they start to make fun of him, and they finally just berate him, and it's terrible. They finally throw him out of a compartment of the train. And they mavaza him totally. What's wrong? What? The volume is what? Is it louder? And then they come to Warsaw, or they come to Brisk, wherever they come. And there are 10,000 people waiting to be mekabel panim Reb Chaim Brisker. And these Jews who were reviling him in the train were so upset, they didn't realize who it was, who this Yidel was. So they come running over to him, they want to ask him for mechila. And Reb Chaim says, I'm not going to grant you mechila because I can't grant you mechila. Go back on the train and go find Yena Yidala. Yena Favarfana Yidala, he's the one from whom you have to ask mechila. So who's going to ask mechila from? And how does it work? And even if you ask mechila, what happens to the act that you performed? We want to do tshuva for things that we may have done wrong. So we say al-chayt, and we say al-shamnu, and we say al-chayt, and sometimes the al-chayt is fayenim, and sometimes all of a sudden it starts to feel a little bit familiar. And I want tshuva, I want slicha, I want kapar, v'alkula, maloka, slicha, slachlon, machalon, kapar. How does that work? What happens to the sin that I did? What happens? I feel sorry. I'm sorry, I feel sad, it's terrible. You're right, that's wonderful. I'm really happy that you feel terrible about what you did. But you did it. You did it. Where does it go? Where does it go? What happens in this case? In this case, where does it go? Everything that he did before he became a Jew. That's it, he's pater. We know that there's a rabbinic principle of Gershon is Geyer, Kekotan Shenola Dami. Somebody becomes a ger, it's as if they're a newborn person. They're just born. So does that mean that what happened before is not me, that was Yenim, now I'm a newborn person, and everything until now is finished? Or if I want to do tshuva, so I do tshuva, I want to be a new person, I want to turn over a new leaf, I want to be good, does that mean everything I did until now is gone, it's over? Because I feel sad? I feel sad. I'm sincere. That's it? I could just wipe it away? It doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Take a look on page 4. I xerox from a tshuva of the Chavos Yoyer. This comes from an article by Rabbi Joseph Pollack, who's the Hillel director at Boston University. I gave you the reference on the first page at the top. And if this is of interest to you, I invite you to read the article. The Chavos Yoyer, Reb Chaim Yoyer Bachrach, lived in Germany at the turn of the 18th century. He was a Rav in Worms. For a long time he wanted to become the rabbi in Worms, finally became the rabbi in Worms. He died at the beginning of the 18th century. He's buried in Worms. If you go to Worms today, for some reason that I don't understand, the cemetery in Worms looks the way it looked 100 years ago and 200 years ago. For some reason, the Nazis didn't touch the cemetery in Worms. They didn't touch the shul in Worms. The Marami Rutenberg is in Worms in the cemetery. Reb Chaim Yoyer Bachrach is in Worms in the cemetery. You can go to his cavern. He was asked a shaila, following shaila from Amsterdam. Somebody becomes a ger and wants to know he stole something before he became a ger and he never returned it. So is he mechuyev al pi Jewish halacha, now that he's a Jew, is he obligated to return what he stole before he became a Jew? What's the shaila? Gershon is Geyer, Kikotin Shinola Dami. If you say Gershon is Geyer, Kikotin Shinola Dami, so he's now a new person? He's not the same guy who stole before. Before he was a Gentile. Now he's a newborn babe. Now he's a new person. Is he mechuyev to return or not? The Chavos Yoyer Paskin said he is mechuyev. Because Gershon is Geyer, Kekotin Shinola Dami does not work in the context of Ben Adam Lachavero. That if you have an obligation that you owe to somebody before you convert, so even though now you're a Jew, after you convert, you mechuyev to rectify the mistake that you made before you converted. It's not as if everything is clean. It's not as if everything is finished. It's not as if everything is over. And that actually sharpens my question. Because that means that in a sense, what I did, I bring with me. I can't become a new person. I have some connection to what happened before. Therefore, Rabbi Pollack says at the bottom left of page 4, accepting the yesod of the Chavos Yoyer, bottom left, page 4. Mevuzaradan might thus have repented. Yeah, the Gemara says, here are a tshuva. but his past would accompany him on his journey to Judaism. And he would be required to stand trial for his genocidal crimes immediately, so to speak, upon his emergence from the proselyte's ritual bath. In other words, what he did before is still part of him. He still has to deal with that. He still has obligations with regard to that that have to be determined. It's not as if once he comes out of the mikveh, it's clean, it's perfect, it's beautiful. Therefore, thus, Rabbi Steinberg's response, and leaving us with the impression that all is well with the former Nazi, who could now convert, is surely misleading. Zol Mishmeinin, that he converts, because the Halachi Yevesha says that there's no basis to withhold him from converting, and then we're going to taka give him after Yoina, we're going to taka give him Psicha Fini Ila, and we're going to taka make him the president of the shul, not for a second. He converts, but he still has his chayvus. He still has to somehow confront and deal with and relate to what happened before he converted. So the question is, how can we get by the mistakes that we make? How can we get by the sins that we committed? Simply asked, how does tshuva work? I ask it in the context of a very extreme case. You understand it probably doesn't get more extreme than that. But I'm asking for each of us. I'm asking if we take what was with us, how do we get rid of the sins that we committed? I have charata, I feel bad, terrible. I do tshuva. But what happens to it? You hurt somebody, you tell them you're sorry. You're sorry. But you heard them. What happens? How does this work? Ad kidei kach, that in fact, the question emerges from a Yerushalmi. If you look at the top of page 5, I xerox from a Yerushalmi in Maseches Makis. Yerushalmi says in Makis as follows. Sha'alu l'chachma. It's underlined, it's the fourth wide line. Sha'alu l'chachma chotei mahu ancho. So they went to Chachma, and they asked Chachma, what happens to the chotei? Somebody sins, so what happens? What's the einish? Amar lahem, Chachma says, chatoim terad efra. Sinners should be pursued by evil. You sin, you're punished. That's it. It's very simple. Chachma is smart, right? By definition, you don't get smarter than Chachma. Chachma says, wisdom says, you do something, there are implications. You do something, you get punished. Sha'alu nevuah, so they went to prophecy. Prophecy is very special. Prophecy, nevuah, nevi'im. Prophecy is holy. They went to prophecy and they said, chotei mahu oncho. Amr lohen, hanefesh achotas, he told us. What do you mean? Nefesh achotas, they're consequences. They're implications. Sha'alu l'kutcha b'richu chotei mahu oncho. Amar lohen yasa tshuva v'yizchaka. So they come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yasa tshuva v'yizchaka. Chachma, impossible. It's impossible. What do you mean yasa tshuva v'yizchaka lo? Logic says it's impossible. You're punished. They go to Nevuah. Nevuah says it's impossible. They go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's possible. And the question is, how could it be possible? Because it's not logical. And it doesn't make sense. And prophecy says no. And Chachma says no. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says yes. The same text is in the Psikta. If you look at the bottom of the page, we have dozens of examples where tshuva works. Dozens of examples in Chazal, all over the place. I just gave you one example from the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Vayera, in the third line, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chofetz L'chayev Kol Bria, Ki Lo Echbotz B'mos HaMeis, we say it in Davening, V'cheinu Omer Ki Lo Kel Chofetz Resha, Chai Onin Hashem Elokim Im Echbotz B'mos HaRosha, Ubamachafetz, and what Taka does God want? Lahatzdik briyosav, to justify his creations. Dalachosheb bisman shabrios choten umachisin lefanav, v'hu choes alei, and ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh, chozer mevakesh lahem saneger shiyalamad aleim schuz. God always tries to help us. God always tries to make it easier for us to come closer. Shalom lekutshi b'richu chote ma'awon sho yasa tshuva v'yischaper. But the question is, what happens? How does it work? I have a concept in my mind of past and present and future. And what happened in the past happened. I can't like go into a time machine and go earlier than the past and remake the past. The past happened. It's a mitzias. Whatever it was, was. It's there. And now I feel bad. I feel bad. Okay, that's great. But it happened. I'm asking you, Mamish Aleph Beis. How does it go away? How does it go away? How does tshuva work? I can be sad von heint bis morgen 100 times, but it doesn't go away. Look on the next page. I Xerox for you on the next page, page 6, page 7. Mechanisms of tshuva. What does it mean to do tshuva? So a whole Rosh Hashanah, Shabbat Shuvah, all I hear from the rabbi is, you have to do tshuva. In yeshiva, from the mashgiach, the Rosh Yeshiva, you have to do tshuva. It's a serious made tshuva, you have to do tshuva. Do tshuva. Okay? So now it's a Sunday of a serious made tshuva. I'm getting all geared up, trying to do the right thing, concentrating, I want to do tshuva. Go do tshuva. What does it mean to do tshuva? I want to do tshuva, but what do I have to do? So it turns out that there are a whole list of categories. There are a whole list of components of what it means to do tshuva, and it turns out that not everybody agrees. And certainly not everybody agrees with the order of the various components of tshuva. On page 6, a Xerox from Reb Sadia Gaon. Reb Sadia Gaon says in Sefer Emunos V'Deos, the Gidrei HaTshuva Arba'a, in the fifth Maimer, V'Gidrei HaTshuva Arba'a, there are four categories, there are four components of tshuva. Number one is Aziva. I have to leave the Chet. I committed something, I did an Avera, so I have to separate myself from it. I have to leave it. And then there's Charata. I have to be sorry, I have to regret that I ever did it in the first place. Ubakosha saslicha, and I have to ask for forgiveness. I have to ask for atonement. And then v'achlata shelo yachzor, I have to undertake, I have to make a resolution that I'm not going to do it again. So aziva is in the present. Right now, I have to separate myself from it. Charata, I have to have regret about what I did in the past. Bakosha saslicha, in the present, I have to say, I am sorry. And v'achlata, and then for the future, I have to undertake not to do it again. If you look on the next page, the Chavis HaVavis of Rebach Ibn Pakuda, in the Shara Tshuva, he has a whole Shara called Shara Tshuva, in Perek Dalid, on the top right-hand side of page 7, Gidrei HaTshuva Hemar Bo. Nachamo, again, there are four categories, there are four components of Tshuva. Harishon HaCharata. Notice already the order is different from the Reb Sadia Gaon. I have to have charata, what happened in the past. V'asheni sheyazven v'yosemehem, I have to leave it in the present. V'shlishi sheyizvade bohen v'yavakesh mechila alayim, I have to ask forgiveness. The fourth one, sheyikabel al nafsho shelo yoshev lasosam, in the future I should never do it again. Rabbeinu Bachya, past, present, future. The Heilige Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Beis, the bottom of page 7. Umahi hatshuva. And what is tshuva? 10 prakim and hilchas tshuva. So tell me what it is. Do tshuva. What am I doing when I'm doing tshuva? What does it mean? Umahi hatshuva. Husheyaza v'achot echeto v'yasiro mimachshavto. I have to leave. Present. V'yigmar b'libo shalo yaseh yawod. And in the future I have to say I'm not going to do it again. And then v'chen yisnachem al shavah, the past. The Rambam has another order here. Present, future, and then past. And then v'tzorach lezvados b'svasov. You have to say the vidur, you have to articulate it. So I know what it means to do tshuva. Charata, kabbalah, aziva. I'm doing all of those things. And my question is, so how does it work? I'm doing it. I'm sincere. I really mean it. I understand that I'm standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch. I understand that it's Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin is serious. The Gemara says, why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mipnei Ma'in Ein Omrim Shira B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. The Malachim themselves ask this question of none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Efsher Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Adin. V'Sifrei Chayim V'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim Lefanav. V'Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanav. It's a Yom HaDin. So I'm nervous. I want to do the right thing. I know that I erred. I know I made mistakes. I want to do tshuva. I'm sorry. I'm sad. I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to say vidui. But what happened to it? But I did it. It's out there. How can I undo what I did? If I take with me the Gershon is Gaya Kekot and Shanoila Dummy is not a clean slate. If it's never a clean slate, so how can it work in the context of tshuva? So you know that Rav Soloveitchik spent many hours and many pens and much ink to try to deal with this. And at the end of the day, I'm left with the Mesilas Yesharim at the top of page 8. At the end of the day, what works for me, and if you have an alternate suggestion, I would love to hear it. What works for me is the Ramchal and the Mesilas Yesharim, and it's very simple. And I underlined twice at the top of page 8. Midas harachamim hi. Sha'atshuva tinasein l'chotin b'chesed gom. It's a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch. You know what? It makes no sense whatsoever. Chachma is smart. Chachma says, what are you kidding? It's impossible. Nevuah is pretty holy. Nevuah says, what are you kidding? Nefesh ha-chata zitamos. Chaton terad efra. There's no way that this could work. What's the answer? Shalu l'kutche b'richu. God gave us a chesed. How does it work? I don't know how it works. Where does it go? I don't know where it goes. But God says it's okay. That if I'm sincere, and I'm genuine, and I'm serious, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you a chesed. That's what it is. It's a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chesed, so when people ask us for mechila, we should give them a chesed. It's just a chesed. A chesed is not logical. A nice chesed is not logical. I should take money from my pocket, a lot of money, and give to somebody else. It's not logical. I worked hard for that money. But it's a ma'isa chesed. That's what you do. It's kindness. Tshuva, the mechanism of tshuva, is a ma'isa chesed. Gershon is gar kikot and shenola dami, even though it's not true. But where it can work, it's a ma'isa chesed. And a chesed is predicated on a relationship. Why should God do me a chesed? What's kunt mir a chesed? Why should God do a chesed to me? Because I have a relationship with God. Parents do chasadim for children. Why? Because the children are so wonderful. When our children are so wonderful, we think, Versteitzach, our children are the best children in the world. And in my case, of course, they are. Of course our children are the best. But why do I do a chesed for them? Because they're my children. Rachameinu, kerachem of albanim. Why should Hashem do a chesed for us? Because we have a relationship. What's the relationship? The relationship is reflected in the last source that I want to share with you. The scariest, mamish, literally, the scariest part of davening for me is Unasana Tokef. If you sit down or you stand up and you read these words, mamish chatapacha, and that's exactly what we talk about. We talk about that it's a Yom HaDin, and we talk about Malachim Yechelfezu, V'chilu Ra'adu Yechelfezu. In my life, I never thought that angels would be nervous. Why should angels be nervous? The answer is, angels are not just nervous. Angels are quaking in fear. Malachim yechafezun v'chil ura'ada yochezun. Hinei yom adin, because it's a yom adin. And we all stand before Hashem, kivakaras roa edro. Each one of us. I wish I could hide behind somebody else. I don't want to face, I don't want Hashem looking at me. I wish I could hide behind somebody else. If I could hide behind somebody else, I could sneak through. You know, in class, we always used to want to hide behind the guy who knew all the answers, because the Rebbe shouldn't see us. You know the story that Rav Shechter was once in the Rav Shir, and he had to tie his shoes, so he bent over. 9 guys hit the deck right behind him, because the Rav shouldn't see him. 9, boom, boom, it was like a domino. He bent over, boom, because otherwise the Rav could see me. Oh my God, it's pachad. You want to hide behind somebody. He's sitting up there, he'll take all the shots, and I'm free. But we can't do that on Rosh Hashanah. We can't do that. Each one of us. It's a pacharotza. Right? If you're frightened because the Rebbe's going to call on you, so the jig is up. And then the last paragraph takes the cake. And the last paragraph, every single word is scary. Not just mi yecheh mi yamos, but let me tell you what kind of yamos. Mi ba this, mi ba that, mi ba eish, ba mayim, ba cheref, ba chayev, ba rog, ba tzoma, chaniko, sekilo. It's horrible. Rachmana litzlan. And then after that, who's going to be calm? Who's going to be agitated? Who's going to be serene? Who's going to be peaceful? Who's going to have tzoras? And how do we conclude? U'tshuvot filo tztoka, ma'aviren es roa ha'gzeira. And it does not mean the way it's translated. It's a mistake the way it's translated. Repentance, prayer, and charity cancel the stern decree. That's not what it says. How do you say that in Hebrew? Tshuva tefilot tzedakah ma'avirin es ha-gezeira ha-ra'a. Get rid of the gezeira ra'a. That's not what it says. It says, tshuva tefilot tzedakah ma'avirin es ra'a ha-gezeira. Get rid of the evilness of the decree. It may happen. You could do tshuva, and you could do tefillah, and you could do tzedakah, and you could really mean it. And sometimes the gzeira ra comes. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people, and we don't understand it. And I'm sure in this room there are people who suffer losses, whether it's death, whether it's something else, and we don't understand it. And what are we going to say? Well, if I would have given more tzedakah, it would have gone away. And if I would have davened a little harder, it would have gone away. I poured my heart out. I gave as much tzedakah as I could. I really meant tshuva, aziva, charata. I did the best that I could do. And yet, nebuch gzeira ra happened. So what does it mean? It means utshuva utfilo tzedakah. That if I'm engaged with tshuva, if I have a relationship, if I understand that God acts to me as a Baal Chesed because I'm connected to Him, if I understand that tefillah means that I daven to Hashem, we sit in shul for hours on Rosh Hashanah and just wait for Yom Kippur, and we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like a conversation. If I understand that there's a relationship and that tzedakah that I do is a reflection of my commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a reflection of my commitment to Ben Adam Lachaver, I'm part of a tzibur, I'm part of a community, I'm part of a shul, I have a rabbi, I have a community, I'm connected, then it takes away the evilness. It makes it easier to deal with. Sometimes it doesn't take away the act, but it makes it easier to live with, because it's a chesed, and we try to understand our connection to God. If we feel we're part of a tzibur, so our community helps us in times of need. If we feel that we have a relationship to God, God helps us in times of need. God also is trying to struggle through with us. And that's how I understand tshuva. At the end of the day, it is about as illogical as possible. You know, secular philosophers, and the Rav quotes this in Ala Tshuva, couldn't begin to understand the concept of tshuva. The Rav says Nietzsche, the Rav says Spinoza, the Rav says Kant. All of these people had no clue. They said it's ludicrous. And they're right. Milanu Gadol Michachma, who said that. Milanu Gadol Menevuah, who said that. The answer is it's not logical. It's a chesed. And the chesed comes because we have a relationship. And the relationship helps us deal with the challenges that we have to face. Tshuvot, tefillot, tzedakah, ma'avirin es roa, hatzev. Avinu malkeinu, kra, roa, gezar dinei. Of course we want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should tear up the gezar din. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tear up the gezar din. At least, kra, roa, gezar dinei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us that the seriousness with which we approach Him during these days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the seriousness of our davening, we should be zochah to have a good yor, the bench yor, we should have to be zochah to get rid of the gezerah, and at the very least, to get rid of the roah hazerah, a good bench yor.